Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hi, have I talked to you before?
No, yeah.
Could I ask you a question on the radio while you're sitting here reading something?
No problem.
Okay, first of all, what's your first name, young man?
Robert.
You're a very polite fellow. Robert, where are you from?
I'm from Canton, Georgia.
Maybe that's why. What are you reading?
Diamonds Are Forever.
A James Bond movie.
Yes.
I didn't know anybody was reading those anymore.
Yes, just felt to update myself on reading the actual books to compare them to the movies.
Yes, well, I've seen the movies. Mm. I don't read books, I see movies. Mm. Yeah. Okay, so here's my question for you. This is the big one that I wanted to ask you. All right. Imagine that you could ask God one question, sitting on this bench here at Georgia Tech on this lovely day. Mm. What would be the one question that you would ask?
Let's see. What would be the ultimate plan for the universe?
Really?
Yes.
Like, what's the point?
Yes.
What do you think it is?
Currently, I think it's for everybody to continue to better themselves, to see what people can build of what we have with us today and improve what we're given.
Okay. So why do you think that's it? Why self-improvement or societal betterment? Why do you think that's the purpose of life?
I feel that will establish a final goal for everybody to be able to improve ourselves and enjoy our lives further, as well as give back to what we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you suppose that concept came from? I mean, where do you get that thinking that we do well to improve society for the next generation? Evolutionary. God gave it to us. What do you think?
See, you can look at it from evolutionary perspective, even looking back to economics, simple concept that you want to improve yourself that way, and then that can tie back into other relations.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking along those lines, from economics, you can help to develop yourself. You're improving both gaining a sense of, achievement.
Almost like karma is what you're describing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So are you kind of an Indian or an Eastern philosopher?
No, I read various philosophies. I've described myself more of a Machiavellian in terms of philosophy.
Machiavellian?
Yes.
So in other words, you want to be in charge of everything?
Well, not necessarily, but I view that a strong series of policies is necessary and that self-betterment will be one of our ultimate goals.
Uh-huh. And who would you like to have enforcing those policies?
I don't think any single person is capable of enforcing those policies.
You're supposed to say you. That's the Machiavellian answer. You.
Well, yes, you would work if you was ever perfect, which Machiavellian relies on laws garnering what you can do.
Yeah, well, so then he's the one who's in charge.
Yes, in that situation. He felt that he should ultimately be in charge.
See, that's the problem with totalitarianism right there.
Yes.
It's just the corrupt nature of man.
Yes.
Do you think that man is basically good or bad?
I believe that man is generally good. However, within the terror of being good, we do have a corrupt nature behind it.
Oh, wow. Okay, I disagree completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I can prove it.
All right.
With you. All right.
Okay.
I think you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you a series of questions. We'll see if we can prove that you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
How many lies in your young life do you think you've told?
Numerous.
How many?
I wouldn't be able to give you a firm number on that.
A lot of them.
Yes.
All right. So if I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
Well, of corrupt, of course.
Specifically, though, considering the issue, rhymes with pants on fire.
Liar.
Liar, okay. All right, so you're a liar. Can we agree to that?
Sure.
Okay. How many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
None that I'm aware of.
I'm not talking about like credit card fraud. Mm-hmm. You know, from a sibling, from your mom or dad, downloading music, checking into work but not really working, anything that would be stealing.
Wouldn't really say I've had any of those experiences.
Nothing,
no.
All right. Only you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. How's about being a perfect child? Were you always Johnny on the spot doing everything that you were told to do?
Well, not always, no. Generally, yes. Of course, times you'll do what you want to do rather than...
Don't make me call your mother. I'll ask her. Okay, because you were not just like any other kid. You know,
yes.
You go to McDonald's and you see that kids are just monsters the way they behave, mm-hmm, and stuff, and you were probably pretty much the same, right? All right, a little more probing.
Okay.
Your thought life and your heart. Lusting. X-rated thoughts, lusting after women. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. How many times today?
Today, maybe a few times.
A few times. Okay, yes. And how old are you?
I am 17.
17? 17?
Yes.
You're going to school here?
Yes, I'm in the early admissions program here.
So you're really smart.
Hopefully.
Dude, wow, so good for you. Well done. So how did you get out of high school that quick?
Well, Georgia Tech is a program that will accept people who rank high enough on paper from their junior year of high school directly without graduating.
Wow.
So I haven't graduated yet.
Good for you. Well, that's terrific. Okay, so lusting. So you're 17. So let's say 5 years a few times a day.
Okay.
All right, you're the math guy. Go. What is it? 365 times 3 would be about 1,000 a year times... So 5,000 times.
Yes.
Inside of your heart, when nobody was looking, you had thoughts that would be, well, mom and dad wouldn't be really thrilled to know that their son was thinking that.
Right? All right.
Okay. So that, to me, sounds pretty corrupt.
Well, I would hold that's still a corrupt lining within it. That the majority of the time you're working to achieve whatever you view as your goal, however that goal may be.
Okay, that's Machiavellian for sure, you're describing, but that still isn't, that's kind of skirting around the issue of whether you are basically good or basically bad. Hmm. I mean, if you've lusted 5,000 times, assuming, of course, that's a bad thing, and lied a lot of times, and dishonored your parents when you were just being naughty, and maybe coveting, desiring stuff that doesn't belong to you, maybe vulgarity out of your mouth, well, that would make you actually not good, wouldn't it?
Well, that would mean that part of you is not good. However, I would hold that the majority of you could still be good and that working to achieve what you're working on, really.
All right, let's see if we can reason together.
All right.
Let's say I'm a criminal and I'm standing before the judge and I've committed 5,000 crimes.
Yes.
Give or take.
Yes.
5,000 crimes. And I said to the judge, but judge, that's just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, part of you? You've broken the law 5,000 times. You are a bad criminal.
Yes.
You got to go to jail.
Yes.
I mean, what if I even said, well, but judge, I've done 5,000 nice things. He'd say, I don't care.
Sure,
you're
still going.
You're a bad dude. You've broken the law 5,000 times.
You're still going to be punished for the negative things that have happened.
All right.
Similarly in life, if you continue to do things that would be deemed corrupt.
Let me drop something on you. You see what you think about this, okay? I think you said if you could ask God one question, it would be, what's the point? What are we doing here?
All right. Yes.
Let's say you died and God judged you. Do you think that you'd be going to heaven or hell?
Really not sure on that one.
No.
I would have to do
You've
it.
Broken his laws at least 5,000 times.
Yes.
And he knows everything you've done, every deed in darkness, every thought that you've had, every time you failed to thank him for error.
Yes.
So he knows that you've broken his laws. What should he do if he's just and if he's good?
Punishment.
Exactly.
Hmm?
So you would be going to...
Hell.
Dude, horrible thought. Okay. I happen to be a Christian. What does Christianity say is your... the good news of the gospel? What is the way that God has provided so that you don't have to go to hell?
Essentially repenting for your sin.
That's right. Yeah. But there's the big component, though, the reason that we do that is because of Jesus.
Yes.
Because he died on a cross, the unjust, or the just for the unjust. In other words, the good guy dying for you, the bad guy.
Yes.
He lived the perfect life, kept all the laws, all the rules that you broke, and he kept them. He was beaten by men, put on a cross, taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf, so that if you'll repent and put your trust in him, then all of your sins will be forgiven and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Okay. Now that fits into, what are we doing here? Because I think the biblical answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And here's how you glorify God. One of two ways. You will glorify God by living the rest of your life for yourself and breaking his laws. And then he'll give you what you've earned. He'll pay you your wages for what you've done on earth.
Yes.
Sinning, lying, lusting, porn, whatever it happens to be. He's going to give you exactly what you deserve, and he'll send you to hell for that. And he'll be glorified because he's going to get the last laugh, if you will. He'll get the last word. You're in hell because you're the lawbreaker, and he's still sitting on the throne.
Exactly.
Okay. There's another way that you can glorify God, and it's a much grander way. You can repent, say you're sorry, and turn from your sins and put your trust in his son. And he'll forgive you so that for all of eternity, everybody can point to you and say, that's how nice God is. He's that kind. He saved that dirty, rotten sinner. That's how good he is. And that is how you can glorify God in this life, is by repenting and trusting his son so that God can be glorified for being a good God and saving a bad guy like you and me. That would be the biblical answer to why are we here?
Yes.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yes.
What do you do with that?
Well, I believe you have to take a reasoned decision on that. You have to look what you're going to achieve within your life and how well you value that against eternity, really, in terms of would you live your life as you're currently living now, say you enjoy that, and very much dislike your eternity, versus live your life to that standard now and have a blissful eternity and glorify God in that manner.
You actually just said something that Jesus asked. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his very soul?
Yes.
You just kind of expanded that whole concept right there. So do you believe that, young man? Do you believe that Jesus died for you, a sinner?
Yes, I do.
Have you repented and put your trust in him?
No, I have not.
So thinking time maybe on the bench here at Georgia Tech today.
Of course.
Something for you to ponder, isn't it?
Of course.
You're an interesting young man. Thanks for the chat.
All right.
And you look older than 17. Pray for him, would you? This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Important dates in Christian history. Henry VIII's Act of Supremacy makes the King, not the Pope, head of the Church of England. While Henry's concerns were largely political, his Archbishop, Thomas Cranmer, worked to mold the Anglican Church into a thoroughly Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm here at Georgia Tech asking the question, if you could ask God, one question, what would it be? Let's go for a walk, shall we? There's a young man, kind of a Johnny Cash look. He's all in black. Let's go have a chat with him and see if he will talk to me. He's got kind of an anxious look on his face, so I'll tell you that much. And see if he'll have a chat with me. And who knows where we'll end up. Hey, young man, while you're walking. Oh, you're going to light one up?
Go ahead.
Can I ask you, while you're walking to wherever you're going, can I ask you a couple of questions on the radio?
What type of questions?
Well, here's my first one. Why do you bang the bottom of the cigarettes like that? I've never understood that.
It packs it and makes them easier to light.
Really?
Yep.
How?
Basically, so when tobacco is rolled up in the cigarette, it's rolled pretty much evenly along the length of the cigarette.
Yeah.
And when you pack it in, it basically just packs the tobacco more towards the filter.
Yes.
And there's like a little edge of paper around the...
It just catches a little bit better, does
yep.
it? Okay. Thank you for answering. Second question. This is the question I'm asking everybody today. If you could ask one question of God, what would it be?
I guess the general mystery of life. What am I supposed to do with my life? What's the purpose of it?
That's actually been a very consistent answer. Just what's the point? What are we doing here? What do you think it is?
Well, I could honestly say I haven't decided yet.
Decided meaning I don't know what I'm going to do for a living, who I'm going to marry, just what the philosophical answer is?
Both. I'd say both.
Are you a religious guy?
I wouldn't consider myself an atheist, but I wouldn't consider myself religious. More of an agnostic.
So God might exist, you just don't know for sure who it is.
Basically, I don't necessarily like the idea of associating myself with organized religion, but at the same time, I don't deny that. I basically put faith in my own ignorance of that there might be something greater out there.
Okay. Yeah. And who do you think it might be?
That's a question that I can't even...
Million-dollar question. Yeah. All right. So how come you haven't picked Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism?
Well, to be honest, I feel like I can live my life being as good of a person as anybody else, any other religious person, without associating with any particular religion.
What if, however, you come to the end of your life and this God judges you for everything that you've done and he finds out that you have not been good at all and there's some sort of reckoning for how we've lived our lives and spent our days? Then wouldn't it matter?
I mean, honestly, you deal with the consequences of your decisions every day. I can't imagine that if it were to come to that point, it would be any different in death.
No consequences.
No, I mean, I can't imagine, like, you wouldn't have to deal with the consequences of the decisions you've made.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you some probing questions. If there's a judgment day, okay, how do you think you're going to do?
I would say average.
All right.
I wouldn't say I'm the, you know, nastiest person alive, but I wouldn't say I'm the most righteous person alive either.
All right. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime?
Lies?
Yeah.
That depends what you consider to be a lie.
You know.
You consider, you know, a white lie, you know, small fib to be a lie, you know, a real wrongdoing, or do you consider a lie to be something that actually harms somebody, or that you do to hide a mistake that you've made? I mean, there are variations or kind of different types of lies.
Okay, how's about anything that was intended to deceive or to make yourself look better or to protect yourself? How many times?
Say quite a few.
Okay. All right. What about stealing? Have you ever stolen anything? Not like armed robbery.
No. Like nothing from the most minor thing to...
Like as a kid, taking money from your parents or from a sibling, downloading music, being late for work but saying you're on time.
If you say downloading music, yeah, I could honestly say I've done that a few times.
Okay. Because it's not so much the crime. It's really what's going on in the heart. So 99 cent download... Okay, it's not $99 million, but that's not
well,
the
I
point.
Mean,
it's a
you're,
heart issue.
You're kind of... If you talk about stealing in terms of stealing music, that's you know, that really depends on whether you're saying it's stealing in terms of our, you know, capitalistic economy, or is it stealing in terms of, you know, the religious sense, stealing, you know, from,
taking
like, your neighbor.
Taking something that didn't belong to you. That'd be stealing. Okay, how's about this one? A little more probing. You ready?
Okay.
Lusting. Looking at women, sexual desires, X-rated thoughts... How many times? Today.
Today? Not really many times today, actually.
Really?
Been very focused today.
Well, good for you. Okay, nevertheless. So, but you do it because you're a guy.
Yeah, once in a while, I guess you have a thought of that nature.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, based on your own admission, you've lied, you've stolen, and if you will, committed adultery in the heart.
Okay.
Okay, so you die, God judges you, innocent or guilty.
It's not black and white. If I were to believe, and there is some God who's going to judge me at the end of my time, if I were to believe that, then I wouldn't say that it's black and white, innocent or guilty. I would say that it's more of a gray area than that. It has to do with, you're guilty if you do that and you don't admit that those things were wrong. I'd say that's definitely more guilty than somebody who's done it and admits that they were wrong.
Okay, let's take it into an earthly court, which probably isn't even as good as a godly court. But if a criminal said that to a judge, yes, I've, whether it's raped or stolen or whatever, but I understand that it's bad. The judge is going to say, well, that's great, but you're still a criminal.
Part of dealing with the consequences.
Right, but he's still a criminal. He's still broken the laws. He's still guilty, right?
Correct.
Okay, so no matter what his attitude is, he would still be a guilty criminal, whether with a smile on his face or a sad face, he's a guilty criminal.
Correct, I would agree with that.
So wouldn't that be the case for you and me if we've broken God's laws and he judges us at the end of our days? Well, no matter what our attitude is, we're guilty.
Well, I mean, like I said, that's consequences, and I mean, that's why it's up to him and not up to us.
I agree. Okay, so but let's try to imagine what he'd do with us. If you've broken the laws, lusted, maybe blasphemed his name, used his name in a bad kind of way, and we're guilty, then the consequence, should it be heaven or should it be hell?
I guess I'll leave that up to him.
Well, it would be smart, though, to try to figure out which way this would go for us.
I guess you could. I mean, you could spend your days thinking about, how can I live my life in such a way so that, I can kind of already know where I'm going at the end of it.
Yeah.
But, I guess I haven't really, I don't really believe in focusing on that goal throughout the course of my life. I believe that, I should try and be the best person I can be. We all falter along the way. We all make mistakes,
but that's our problem right there, that faltering.
But that's part of human nature. It's not something that...
I don't disagree with that.
Even if you were the most religious person, the most dedicated person, the most honest person, everybody falters at some point in their life.
No, I agree with you.
And so...
But that doesn't get... It's sort of, kind of a lame analogy, but you're speeding down the freeway, and you get pulled over, and you point to all the cars that are doing 85 on 85, and you say, what about them? It's still irrelevant. He's got you,
mm-hmm.
and you've broken the laws. Even if everybody else has broken the laws, you're still guilty. Human nature or not, guilt is guilt, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's something you deal with.
Now, did you, as a kid, did you ever go church, religious, temple,
anything? Yeah, I was raised as a Christian.
Yeah.
My
what
parents...
What stripe?
Protestant.
Yeah, which one? Lutheran, Episcopal, Methodist?
More of like
Baptist.
A Reformed Protestant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's the message that they taught you so that you don't have to go to hell?
Basically, you go to church, and if you've sinned, you go and you pray and you ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Basically, admit the wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness. That's pretty much the whole idea.
And how is it that God can forgive you? Because if he just says, it would be like a judge, the criminal pleading, judge, forgive me. And if the judge goes, okay, that would be unjust.
Correct.
So is it that God could forgive a sinner like you by saying, I'm sorry?
I think, okay, theoretically speaking,
because
I don't necessarily adhere to all of these
these
ideas, but theoretically speaking, I would say that he kind of works from a different standpoint than a judge in a courtroom. A judge in a courtroom has to deal with the facts, what's presented to him. He doesn't have the ability to see your true feelings. Anybody can say and lie and say, oh, I admit what I did was wrong. I regret doing it. I wish I could take it back. I wish I could undo the wrongs that I've done. Whereas, theoretically speaking, a higher power would have the ability to see whether we actually believe those things. To see whether we actually do regret it.
Sure.
To see whether we actually would, go back and
right.
do it
but,
over.
But here's what I'm getting at. If God is just, he can't just hear somebody say, I'm sorry, and say, oh, you're fine, you're good to go. That would be unjust. It would be unjust to himself, and it would be unjust against other people.
Sorry, I really have to.
You got to go. Okay, you're walking into here. Yeah. All right. Dude, here's what you should have said to me. Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment for my sins so that my court case could be dismissed.
the good man died for me, the bad man, and if I'll repent and put my trust in him, God will wipe my slate clean because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel.
Hey, well, if you believe that, then I guess it's a wonderful thing.
Well, it doesn't really matter so much if I believe it. The question is it true? You're here at Georgia Tech, and you're studying a lot of stuff. Would you maybe do yourself a favor and figure out if it's true or not? Because if it's true and God exists and he judged you, you'd be going to hell. But if it's true that Jesus died for you, he could save you. That's a big deal. It's kind of a life or death sort of affair, so you should at least figure out if it's true or not.
Well, I guess that's something to think about.
It is. Goodbye. Study hard. Enjoy your physics. Goodbye.
How can a kid go to a Reformed church as a child and not know that? Oh, Pastor, I'm pleading with you. Please make sure that everybody who leaves your church door on Sunday morning has Jesus ringing in their ear. It doesn't mean that the kid would be a Christian because he'd heard the gospel loud and clear as a kid, but at least he would know it. From Georgia Tech, on Witness Wednesday, until tomorrow, go serve your King.